This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday was Super Tuesday. There was a lot of good, a lot of bad. We will discuss that. Senator Rick Scott is here. He's running for leadership, and we're rooting for him. We have that, so much more. Newt Gingrich tonight on I'm Right. Okay, let's take in last night. And last night was Super Tuesday. And there were wonderful things that happened last night on Super Tuesday. And there were dreadful things that happened last night on Super Tuesday. And we're going to discuss them here. Let's just work it all out. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that we're not fighting one race. We're not involved in one battle, be it for a congressional seat or a culture win or something. We have many, 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 many battles to fight. We will be fighting these battles our entire life against the forces of evil that are in this country and trying to take over this country. And we're going to win many of those battles. And we're going to lose many of those battles. And last night is actually a great example of it. Super Tuesday was primary night, and there were so many things that gave me hope, and then so many things where I said, screw this, I'm quitting. One of the things that was good, is Nikki Haley dropped out of the race. Here she was.
I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
Okay. So that's a good thing. Trump's the nominee. Everyone knows it by now. Let's just get this thing over with. Donald Trump is the nominee. Let's stop having to ever discuss Nikki Haley again. Okay, so the field finished itself off, and now it's Donald Trump. That's a good thing. It's one of the good things. Now let's talk about the worst thing that happened last night. This is by far the worst thing, and there's more good to come, so just stay with me. I'm not trying to be super cynical here. The House of Representatives. I know you already know this, but every 2 years, the entire U.S. House of Representatives is up for re-election. Every one of them. Democrat, Republican, every single one. Every 2 years. What does that mean? Well, it means that Congress, who's killing us right now, they're currently negotiating another omnibus bill. We'll get into that later. Congress is killing this country. Evil law after evil law, spending after spending. Congress is so evil. And the American people, with the power of their vote, have the power to send every one of them home every 2 years. You realize that? That we in this nation, if we had a nation of engaged citizens, we could fire every politician in the House of Representatives every 2 years. It's crazy. And we don't. That's probably the craziest part of it. How many times have you screamed, have I screamed about the useless low-T GOP in the House of Representatives? How many times have we been betrayed over and over and over and over again by the low-T rhino losers in the House of Representatives? How many times have we screamed about it? Endlessly, right? And so last night, Super Tuesday, many, many, many of the biggest dorks had primary challengers. None of them. None of the primary challengers were successful last night. Now, I should note, programming note, Tony Gonzalez is a real piece of trash GOPer from Texas. He got a real primary challenger from a Brandon Herrera. Brandon Herrera actually got close enough to produce a runoff. They now have to do a runoff, and Brandon might win that one. So maybe we got one. But one? What? You go talk to Republican after Republican after Republican. You talk to Republicans in your life, And they'll tell you all the time about all the things they want done in the GOP. And we got to clean out the gunk in the GOP. We got to secure the border. We got to stop the spending. They'll tell you endlessly. And then when primary day comes, they either won't vote. That's mostly the problem. We don't even show up and bother to vote. Or if we do vote, it's the dorks who watch late night cable TV. Everything on the, what are they saying on Fox, Herb? I better vote for Senator Dork, who I see on Fox all the time. We don't care enough to change the party. And no, I will not let anybody get away with, well, they're cheating. Stop. Democrats cheat in elections. Yep, they cheat in general elections. No doubt about it. They're not cheating to win Republican primaries. We're just lazy and stupid. Do we care enough to actually do something about it? It's not enough to sit around with your neighbors on the weekend. Ah, the GOP betrayed us again. Where were you on primary day, Jack? Watching the game? Ah, can't, the game's on. Don't even bother showing up. Now, every one of those dorks gets to go back to the House of Representatives again. Once again, opportunity squandered. Turned to ash in her hands. Pathetic. All right. It's enough of the bad. That was the worst. There was something really wonderful that happened last night, and a lot of people outside of the state of Texas won't know about it, won't hear about it, but it is a good sign for the entire country. So just stay with me really quickly. In the Texas state legislature, you know, blood red Texas, the GOP is maybe the worst GOP in the country. Low T, betray us all the time. And just in recent years, very, very recently, they have betrayed the voter in Texas, the GOP voter, two major times. What did they do? First thing, well, it doesn't matter what the order was, they came out against school choice. The Texas GOP had a bunch of incumbent losers who voted against Texans getting school choice. It's crazy, right? And they then tried to do a palace coup and impeach rock-solid AG Ken Paxton. It was all the rhino low-T losers who tried to take out Ken Paxton. By the grace of God, they failed. And this was all done by the Texas GOP. And credit to you, Texas primary voters. Credit to everyone who had the guts to run. Credit to the people who worked on the campaigns. Last night was a good night in the Texas state legislature. Incumbent after incumbent after incumbent went down or got forced into a runoff. So I don't have exact numbers for you here. But if you were a member of the Texas GOP and you betrayed the GOP base, the GOP primary voter in Texas last night showed up and spoke up and allowed his voice to be heard. And I'm proud of every one of you. And this is a blueprint for the United States of America. Legal and local is how we will save this nation. We are not going to save this nation from the swamp. Yeah, it's important that we win the presidency in 2024 and the House and the Senate. And yes, all those things are super, super important. But we will not save this country. It cannot be saved from the swamp. It will be saved from our red states out. We will begin to fortify them and spread freedom from there. And at least in some small way, we did it last night. That's a good thing. Look, there are other good things. Mark Robinson, I'm a fan. Well, as much as I can be a fan of politicians, I like him. I'll put it that way. Mark Robinson won his primary in North Carolina. Dude's going to be governor.
I stand on the shoulders of my mother and all of those who came before me, who laid the groundwork that made it possible for me to stand here as the first black lieutenant governor and possibly the first black governor of North Carolina. And I'll tell you this, running this general election, we're not going to allow these folks to drag this campaign into the mud. Those who want to go into the mud, feel free. Where we're going is we're going towards the substantive issues that all North Carolinians face. The things that will make North Carolina great, that will take her to her next level of success. What are those things? Those are those important things, education and our economy. I have an opponent that doesn't understand any of that. I have an opponent who doesn't understand what it's like to be at work and have the boss man come and take you to a room and sit you down and tell you, we're moving this plant to Mexico and there's nothing you can do about it. And now you have to go find another job. I know the sting. I know the sting of the bad federal policy that causes that. And I'm here for the people of North Carolina for it.
Rooting for you. North Carolina, go get it done. All right, that's enough of the GOP, but that's a good thing. Again, there was good, there was bad, and there always will be on election night. Let's focus on something else that was good. On the other side, the Democrat side, Joe Biden is in very, very, very serious trouble. He is. The Democrat Party in 2024, they are in trouble. Are they going to pull a million dirty tricks? Am I saying we're going to win it all in 2024? I am not saying that at all. But they are in very, very serious trouble. And they're in trouble for such a fascinating reason. It's wild to be on the outside looking in. So here's what they're going through, Democrats in America. They're trying to hold their coalition together. That's what they're trying. Everyone's trying that, right? The GOP tries it, Democrats try it. And Democrats, they have certain parts of their coalition they simply bank on. They know they'll get their votes. They know they'll get their supports. First, American Jews, Jewish people in America, about two-thirds vote Democrat. That's been the more Orthodox Jews tend to vote Republican. The ones who aren't that way, about two-thirds vote Democrat. That has been a reliable coalition for Democrats. They've been able to rely on their votes. They've been able to rely on their campaign donations. That's been an important part of the Democrat coalition in America. Another important part of the Democrat coalition in America is the fact that virtually every American Muslim votes Democrat. Laundry list of reasons for this thing, but it is one of the highest percentages for Democrats. They look at Muslim Americans and they simply bank in their head, oh, we're going to get these votes. They do. And then October 7th happened in Israel, that Hamas raid of Israel, all the raping and butchering and all the other things happening there. Well, that has in turn created a serious domestic problem for Democrats trying to hold the coalition together. They have a problem. They're street animals. The street animals love Hamas. Even AOC can't go to the movies with her ginger boyfriend without getting screamed at about genocide.
You refuse to call it a genocide.
No, I need you to understand.
It's not okay that there's a genocide happening. You're not actively against it.
You're lying. You're cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was. And y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's f***ed up, man. If you're not helping these people, and you're not helping them.
That's bad. You know that 19% of Minnesota Democrats voted uncommitted in the Democrat primary last night? The Biden campaign has a Muslim problem, an American Muslim problem, and they know it. They know it badly. That's why they're both out there now, Joe and Dome, trying to say things like, hey, we need a ceasefire.
It's in the hands of Hamas right now. We need the ceasefire.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire.
And here's the problem. American Jewish voters who have traditionally voted Democrat view that as hostility to them. The Democrats in 2024 are trying to walk a tightrope that probably can't be walked. This has become a proxy religious war politically in the United States of America, and I don't see a way they can hold this coalition together. Now you know why Joe and Dome and all the Democrats just want whatever's happening in Israel to go away quickly, because it has created domestic issues for them that may very well cost them dearly in 2024. And you're seeing that. You saw a little bit of it again last night. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have an incredible show for you. Senator Rick Scott's here, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. We're going to talk about gold. I mean, you did see the latest in gold, right? Go look at gold, how gold's doing. Do you wish you'd already called Oxford gold? Once you look at how gold's doing, you'll wish you'd called Oxford Gold last week, but call them now. Don't wait for another week. There's a reason precious metals have maintained their value, a historical reason. It's simply something societies have always valued. I could give you a sack of gold coins from Oxford Gold Group and teleport you 1,000 years in the past, and you would be wealthy. I could do the same thing 1,000 years into the future, and you would be wealthy. Can you say that about the dollar? The stock market? Of course you can't. Call Oxford Gold Group and get gold or silver coins in your hand. They make it easy. They'll get it in your 401k, in your IRA to make sure your retirement doesn't get wiped out, and they make all this easy. Call 833-995-GOLD. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
He has pivoted. This is the general election. Whether she drops out tonight, whether she ever endorses him, which I don't think will happen, it's over. This is the general election. It begins officially tonight.
It's over. He's the nominee. He's been the nominee. But what does that mean to shift into general election mode? Well, I don't know. I've never run for president. But joining me now, former Speaker of the House, a man who has put himself out there, author of the book March to the Majority, Newt Gingrich. Okay, Mr. Speaker, how do you shift into a general election mode? What does that mean? What does Trump stop talking about? Where does he start going? What does it mean to the layperson who doesn't understand how presidential politics work?
Well, he's done a pretty good job the last couple of days of focusing on Joe Biden rather than Nikki Haley. So that's part one. Part two is you look at issues that build a Trump coalition, which has to include a lot of independents, has to include a lot of suburban women, a lot of minority groups. And so you begin to lay out a series of issues that attract you a lot bigger group than just the Republican base. And I think that you'll see President Trump do this in a very methodical way. And I think he will have quite a large impact.
How do you do that? How do you try to attract, bring, expand the coalition as he has to, bring independents into the tent without horribly offending the people who brung you there? You know, the GOP base. This is obviously a dance you've had to play many times. How does one walk that tightrope?
Well, I think what you do, and this is what makes, I think, a Trump conservatism different than a lot of traditional Republicans. You emphasize the values that you share. Most Asian Americans, Latino Americans, African Americans, most of them believe in the work ethic. Most of them would like lower taxes. Most of them would like to be safe. Most of them would like to protect their children from fentanyl. You go down a list. These are all issues that appeal to a very broad coalition, including MAGA Republicans, but a lot of non-MAGA Republicans. What you find, and this is partly a comment on how the modern Democratic Party has become a radical left-wing party. Their values are now so far away from normal, everyday Americans that you can build a coalition. We have a project called the America's New Majority Project, which you can see at americasnewmajorityproject.com. And we have been polling since 2018, looking for very large majorities. And we, for example, 84% of the country, 84% believe that parents have the right to know what's happening with their children. Now that includes African Americans, Latino Americans, Asian Americans, as well as traditional Republicans. So you campaign with that example. You're bringing together a very big coalition, and you're isolating Joe Biden and the left-wingers who believe that they should have the right to brainwash your child and you shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Dude, how much does election integrity concern you when it comes to winning that majority in 2024? And no, I'm not talking about voting machines being hacked or something like that. But last time, look, we had the Federal Bureau of Investigation take part in our election. We did. Send the intelligence agencies took part in our election.
The fact that the Democrats have actively encouraged millions of people to come here illegally, we've just learned that they apparently used your tax money to fly 350,000 illegal immigrants. That's about a third of the population of the state of Rhode Island, or virtually the population of the state of Wyoming. They've been flown into this country illegally by your own government in a secret program. And when you look at it, you say to yourself, why are they so desperate to have that many illegals? I've concluded that, in fact, they intend to vote them this fall. That the reason they don't want to have voter ID, the reason they don't want to have a requirement that you vote in an orderly way, is they intend to flood the system with people who are here illegally. And I think that's part of why you see such desperate Democratic support for keeping the border open, for having people come in illegally, and for doing nothing to bring the current crisis under control.
You have a piece up on Gingrich 360 talking about the Trump coalition versus the Roosevelt coalition. For people who are not as astute on American history as you are, first of all, what in the heck was the Roosevelt coalition?
Well, in 1932, when the Great Depression crushed Herbert Hoover, who was the Republican president, President Roosevelt, who was a brilliant politician, put together a very broad group of people who collectively agreed that the government had to step in and do things. Social Security would be an example. He put together African Americans in the North where they were allowed to vote, Southern segregationists, labor unions, college professors, a really wide group of people came together, and they formed a governing coalition, which has been the dominant political organization from 1932, basically to today. Trump began to challenge that head on in 2015 and 16. And the reason the left is so ferocious in its assault on Trump and its effort to basically legally assassinate him is that they believe that Trump will end their world. And I think they're right. What Trump has done, which is really amazing, he naturally, by his own background, you know, when he was in real estate, he was building things. He wasn't just in finance. So he has a long record of working with blue collar workers. He also had a TV show, The Apprentice, which was very popular with everyday normal Americans. And so he has an instinct for speaking in the language and representing everyday Americans. The result has been, as the left has gotten weirder and weirder, people who used to be Democrats find themselves now being Trump Republicans. And this has been going on now for the last period of years since 2015. And literally, you're seeing a profound shift. If you are a Harvard graduate, you're probably now a Democrat. On the other hand, if you're a blue-collar worker, you're probably now a Republican. That is an exact reverse of the politics of the last 90 years.
Speaking of FDR, his health was of great concern at the end, and frankly, it was a problem at the end. You can argue historically it really hurt the world because FDR was still hanging on and hung on too long, kind of got his lunch eaten by Stalin a little bit there at the end. Joe Biden, setting aside all of his disastrous policies, is not physically or mentally able to be president of the United States of America, and I can't believe we have to have this conversation. Everyone can see it. Everyone knows.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. FDR, despite having had polio in 1923 and being in a wheelchair, at a time, by the way, when the news media didn't show the wheelchair, and when on key occasions he actually stood with the help of very severe metal braces, Roosevelt was an enormously powerful person. who had an extraordinarily smart brain, and he really was the commander-in-chief. I mean, in World War II, there's no question, he was the decisive strategist for the United States. He did get very ill towards the end, and we're very fortunate that he dumped his vice president, Henry Wallace, who was very left-wing, and replaced him with Harry Truman, who was much more conservative. And that, but Truman had no idea what was going on because Roosevelt didn't particularly brief him. And when Roosevelt did die, and he had been ill for a long time, but he had still been basically the dominant decision maker. I think the difference here is, first of all, Biden was never as smart as Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Biden was at best about an average person when he was in the Senate. Biden now clearly has aged in a way which makes it, I mean, I can't imagine him actually being commander in chief. And I think that's scary. We live in a very dangerous world. Russia, Pakistan, India, China, Korea, Iran, all have nuclear weapons. Things could go very bad, very fast. There is no possibility that Joe Biden would know what he was doing in that kind of a setting. And I think that's a real threat as a citizen. Forget being partisan. Just as a citizen, you have to have a president who's capable of being commander-in-chief.
He is Newt Gingrich. His book is March to the Majority. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. All right. Let's talk about some congressional news next. It's horrible. Before we get to that, let's do this. It's a dangerous world. You just heard him talking about the criminals that have been flown all over this country. Remember, it's not just that we've had individual criminals flood into America. Entire gangs have been displaced from their nation, and they've come here. Time to take your personal protection more seriously. If you are a gun owner and a gun carrier, as I am, you need a non-lethal option. I love having a non-lethal option. Maybe you're scared of guns, don't want one. Get a Byrna launcher, a pistol launcher. Go check out everything they have at Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. These things are incredible. They shoot these little pepper balls or tear gas balls or the kinetic rounds. You have SWAT teams across America. Kit it out with Byrna. These things are awesome. Oh, by the way, practicing with them, fun for the whole family. BYRNA.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Legal in all 50 states. You don't need a background check. Go. BYRNA.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm going to get to the spending and the omnibus and the earmarks here in a moment. I just wanted to cover a couple things really quickly before we do that. First, some congressional news. Kristen Sinema out of Arizona is retiring. She was probably going to lose anyway. You know her. She was the Democrat. Actually, was a pretty hardcore left-wing Democrat while she was in the state legislature in Arizona. Got to Washington, D.C., tried to do the, hey, I'm the maverick, kind of a moderate type thing. The Democrat Party, they're all full-blown communists now. She was going to lose re-election anyway. She's hanging up her skis or whatever it is she wears on the weekends and heading on home. Now in Arizona, we have this nutball, Ruben Gallego. He's taking on Carrie Lake. So Ruben's a full-blown communist. Let's hope that one goes our way. Also in Congress, the Senate. Bob Menendez, I can't help it. All right, I'm sorry I'm laughing. He's been indicted for the fourth time. And he's so New Jersey that I have a hard time getting angry with him. I mean, look, Half the state prisons in New Jersey are full of their former politicians. That's just how it always works. It's how it's always worked in New Jersey. Bob Menendez actually had gold bars underneath his bed. He had stacks of cash. Did you ever see the pictures of the stacks of cash? Envelopes and stuff stuffed in his suit jacket pockets. It's just as dirty as can be. Anyway, he's still in the Senate. I do want to remind everybody that George Santos, he's not in the House of Representatives anymore. He was convicted of no crimes, and any alleged corruption was before he was ever elected. And the low-T GOP joined with the Democrats and bounced him from the House of Representatives. Bob Menendez just got rung up on his fourth indictment. Gold bars, suitcases full of cash, like some kind of gangster. And he still sits there in the United States Senate. That is something. I will give the GOP credit for something, though, because that brings me to the spending. Speaker Mike Johnson, I've been very hard on him since he took the speaker role because we've accomplished nothing. Just continuing resolution after continuing resolution, no cuts to anything. We have accomplished nothing with a very slim majority, but still a majority. We've accomplished nothing. It's just all Democrat stuff. He gave a press conference today, for what it's worth. We'll see how it actually materializes. He gave a press conference today and said, hey, FBI, ATF, it's time to start cutting some things.
We have advanced, and we also advanced, as you've seen the summary, cuts to some of the agencies that we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We are going to cut 3% from DOJ, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA, and that's just a start.
Okay, look, you know how hard I am on the GOP, on all politicians. I don't love any of them, right? You understand that. This is me here. Man, that's really good. If that actually materializes into something they do, those are significant changes. Is it enough? Of course it's not enough, right? The numbers, all those numbers should be 100%. I get that. You get that. But we also have to live in the real world. If we get those cuts, we're heading in the right direction. That's a good thing. Put a smile on your face. Now, for the bad thing. It is... really, really, really bad. On a macro level, this is probably the darkest thing we ever talk about on the show. But let's just lay this out. Debt and illegal immigration. Those two things can sink a nation of any size or strength. And those two things have done so many, 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 many times throughout the history of the world. Nations that look unstoppable, they'll go on forever, have eventually been brought down by debt and or illegal immigration. It's as I've said many times, it's the ship in the middle of the ocean. Illegal immigration and debt is that ship taking on water. It doesn't matter how big and powerful that ship is. It can only take on so much, and then it goes down. So I'm going to say a couple things. And it's hard to hear, and then we're just going to move on, okay? And it's even hard to understand. It's hard for all of us to understand because the numbers are so big. We are almost at $35 trillion in debt. We are now adding a trillion every 3 months, and that pace will accelerate from here. It will accelerate from here. The fiscal disaster that is coming for this country, it is not some distant thing that I'm promising you. One day we're going to have a fiscal crisis. It will be something that you will live through. You're going to be here for it. Your children will be here for it. And a crisis of this magnitude with this much debt will forever alter your standard of living. I want you to understand how important this is. And no one can really grasp this yet because it hasn't happened yet. So it just sounds like you're warning of something. It's coming. It's a guarantee. It's coming. And I think about it all the time as I see these numbers and the interest on the debt greater than our military budget. That it's eye-popping that it's not only coming, it's coming so fast. We're talking a few years here. It's coming. It's here. It might be tomorrow, right? It's here. And these people, these senators, these House members, they all operate as if it's not coming at all, as if there's no fiscal cliff, as if there's no issue. Did you see the spending bills? 605 pages of earmarks for the most insane, depraved things you can imagine. 850 grand for a bus stop, 1.8 million for an LGBTQ community center, because of course something had to be gay in the whole thing. And don't think it's just Democrats either. Senator John Thune wants to be in leadership, penciled out $116 million in sweetheart earmarks for himself, or for his state, I should say, to make sure he buys more support from his state so he can stay in the Senate for the until the end of time. And the money is gone. The treasury is empty. There's a few coins sitting at the bottom of this big treasury of ours. And Republicans and Democrats, as we speak, are sitting at the bottom, shoving as much of it into their pockets as humanly possible, looting the last of our money before disaster strikes. And I freaking hate it. I hate it because it's inevitable. With this fiscal crisis, it's something that's a fact. It's not my opinion. The math says it's coming, and it's going to be so bad. And instead of meeting to slash and burn every part of the budget trying to save our way of life, they meet and hand out more of our money to each other. Drives me insane. All right, I'm going to let it go. Let's talk about the Senate, some of those earmarks with Senator Rick Scott. He wants to be in leadership. Let's talk to him about that next. Before we talk to Senator Rick Scott, let's talk about the timeshare you're stuck in. Believe me, now's the time to start trimming the fat of your budget. It is. Time to keep a little extra money in your pocket. You don't need to pay those annual fees to that timeshare you don't even use anymore. And I know the annual fees have doubled. I know the special assessment. I know. Get out. Oh, I know. You're thinking that's easy for me to say. Jesse, I can't. I'd love to get out. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. This is what they do. They get people legally and permanently out of their timeshare. They guarantee it in writing, and they give you a time frame to go with it. Hey, we're going to get you out, and we're going to get you out by this time. Does that sound like confidence? Well, they have every right to be confident when you're successful 99% of the time. Call 844-310-2646 and let Lone Star Transfer set you free. We'll be back with Rick Scott.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I have a great deal of concern over which loser would replace him, because that's generally who ends up in leadership. But, you know, I'm not going to name names, not going to put you in an awkward spot. Is there a chance we get a good one?
Rick Scott was willing to. And Rick Scott has an amazing life and resume. He's done a lot of great things, really set Ron DeSantis up for success as governor of Florida before Ron DeSantis. You know, built the largest hospital group in the world, rose out of nothing. I mean, I think with a single mom, the guy's got an incredible story. And what I've seen him as a senator, I mean, he is just relentless. The Energizer buddy.
Okay. That's quite an endorsement from one of the decent senators out there. We don't have a bunch of those. So joining me now is the man who's getting pumped up by Ron Johnson on the show, Senator Rick Scott of the great state of Florida. Senator, I'm so happy that you're throwing your name in. Are you throwing your name in? Because I see these other senators who want to be in leadership, and they look like part of the problem to me.
Well, first off, I want to thank Ron Johnson for the nice words. He tells me the same thing when I see him. He calls me the Energizer Bunny. But Ron Johnson is a great. Here's what's nice about Ron. You name him: Ron Johnson, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Braun, J.D. Vance, Eric Schmidt, I mean, there's guys up here that are willing to stick their necks out for what the hell they believe in. What makes you mad up here is that there's so many people that say, oh, I believe it. Oh, we have to take a vote on that? I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. So I'm appreciative of people that are, you know, fighting for the American public. So here's what I'm doing. I'm seriously considering it. What we're doing now is the next step is actually to do what you do in business, is you say, what's our strategy? What's our plan? What's our mission? Then it's actually easy to pick who should lead us. So if you say, oh, we're just going to go on with the McConnell plan to always give in to the Democrats and not have a message, then why would you pick me? I mean, you would pick somebody that's like McConnell. So I think the first step is, what do we want to accomplish? Do we want to get a secure border? Do we want to balance a budget? Do we want to make sure we don't have a woke military? Then it makes it easy to decide who you should pick.
Well, does the Senate GOP want those things? And I'm not doubting you. I'm not doubting the list of names you rattled off there, which are basically all the good senators we have. But the GOP as a whole in the Senate, is that really a priority for them? Because they can say that during campaign season. It doesn't look like that to the American people.
Well, I think if you look at the votes over the last 3 years, you'd say that's not where the Republicans in the Senate are as a whole. But I'm an optimist. I know when you go home and talk to voters, you know, what do they want? They want a secure border. They don't like the inflation. They don't like wasteful spending. They don't want earmarks. This week, what we're talking about is over 6,000 earmarks. And by the way, you cannot pass this bill out of the House or the Senate, the spending bill this week, without Republican support. So if you go back home and say, I'm excited about 6,000 earmarks, how about paying for an opera someplace or a Thanksgiving Day parade someplace? So I'm, you know, it has all that stuff in there. But if you don't believe in those things, I know when I go around the country, people don't believe in those things. I hope my colleagues say, we don't believe in those things.
Senator, why don't more of the good ones want to be in leadership? I've seen this for my entire life, as you have as well. It's always the swampy guys who want to be in leadership. Rarely do we get someone like you make a legitimate run at it. What is it about leadership that the good ones shy away from?
Well, I mean, what's hard about being a leader is that you're expected to try to figure out how to bring people along. And that's what I did in my business life. I brought people along. I ran the largest hospital company and manufacturing companies. And what you have to do is, if you want to have a successful company, you talk to your employees, you talk to your customers, you talk to your vendors, you talk to your shareholders, you talk to your bank, and you bring people down to your vision. And so, but your vision is something that, you know, as a group you believe in, not just yours by itself, because you can't get things done by yourself, anything significant. So, you know, I'm optimistic that more people that believe in what Republican voters believe in will run. We'll see. We're going to have sometime this year, whether it's after the election or before, you know, we're going to have a variety of people run. And I hope what happens is the public says, hey, this is what I want. And that calls their senator to say, hey, this is what I want. I want somebody that's going to go fight for what I believe in. If we do, then we're going to get better leadership.
Do the ones who have been there a long time, Senator, do they care about what we want? Because it looks like a lot that they do not. I'll just go ahead and call out Mitch McConnell on this. He's just one of many I could call out there. Mitch McConnell has been seen on camera many times saying the most important issue right now is Ukraine. Well, whatever you think about Ukraine, that is not the most important issue for the GOP voter. In fact, it's not in most people's top 10. It seems like he doesn't give a crap what I care about.
And that's why he struggled. As you know, as Ron said, I ran against him at the end of the last election cycle. I wasn't successful, unfortunately. Part of it is he rushed the race to the next day, so we didn't have time to build up our support. But you're right. The Mitch McConnell lost sight of where the Republican voter is. And some people up here don't like the Republican voters. I do. I respect them. I'm a representative. This is the way the Constitution was set up. I represent the people of Florida. That's who I represent. And so my job is to talk to them constantly and get feedback. So, like, we should not get a spending bill that's thousands of pages okay, without giving our the public time to give us their comments. So I can hear from them. I represent them, so they ought to have time to give me their what they think about it. But what they want to do up here is before anybody knows what's in it, let's get the vote behind us so that you know they can say, well, it's over, so let's don't worry about that. No, I want to listen to what people say. I have 9 offices in Florida. We engage with our voters in my state, and I want to get their feedback, and I'm going to listen to them when I vote.
Speaking of disdain for the voter, I saw this little clip. I'm sure you've seen it by now. MSNBC last night. Here it was.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested
but you're
area.
Build
a
wall. Like, what?
Senator, how much disdain do you hear on Capitol Hill for the normal American who has real concerns about illegal immigration, border, from Republicans and Democrats? Because it does seem like at times that they really hate us.
I don't know why people don't want to listen to the voters. I guess people get up here and they think they've gotten way smarter. You don't get smarter, all right? You have the background you have. So you've got to listen. You've got to listen to people, and they're smart. I mean, my mom had 11th grade education. I don't know my natural dad, but eventually my mom remarried to my dad, who had 6th grade education. You know what? It good common sense. I mean, did they make much money? No. But did they survive? Yeah. Did they need government to run their lives? They hated government run their lives. All they wanted was a good economy. They wanted me to get a good education, my brothers and sister, and they wanted to live in a safe place. And they didn't need government telling them how to lead their lives. They would hate it. But what's up here is so many people, the Democrats want to clearly control your life, and there's Republicans that are going along with it. This week is going to be an interesting week. How can people vote for 6,000 earmarks when we're running the inflation we're running? Wages are not staying up with inflation, and we have almost $35 trillion worth of debt. I don't know how you can go back home and say, I'm so excited because I spent your money for a whole bunch of wasteful projects all over the country.
$35 trillion in debt and 6,000 earmarks. Just looting the treasury. Senator, I really, really hope you are our next leader in the Senate. I am rooting for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for trying, anyway. I like that he's putting himself out there. We can't have John Thune. We can't have John Cornyn. We can't. That's just Mitch McConnell. We might as well keep Mitch McConnell. All right. Quick programming note. State of the Union, you don't have to go anywhere. It's tomorrow night. State of the Union. Slater, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Mike Slater is going to handle the hour. 9 p.m. He's going to tag me in. We're going to cover the speech, give you some reactions, some guests. So you don't have to go anywhere for State of the Union tomorrow night. Stay right here on the first. All right? All right. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Do you remember QVC? I bet it's still around. I'm sure it is. I don't watch TV anymore. But when I was a kid, QVC was the thing that was always on if you were at the doctor's office or honestly, your mom would turn it on every now and then. It was just kind of like the background noise of the house. And for those of you who don't know what it was or still is, again, I don't know, they broadcast products all day. It's one endless infomercial on, hey, check out this new scrub brush and, oh, look at our teeth whitening kit. It's all day long. QVC, just an endless infomercial. I have no idea why we enjoyed it. Maybe it's because every now and then someone will hurt themselves.
Only have a limited number that we can ship out right now because it is very, very popular. We're going to go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air with Lisa and Kevin. What's your name?
Hi, Congratulations. Hi, Lisa. It's Renee from California.
Hey, Renee. Chris is over there kind of giving us a look at how to use the ladder there.
I got to tell you something. I have this ladder. It is awesome.
Oh, now what do you use it for, Renee?
Everybody wants this ladder. I live in an apartment with vaulted ceilings.
Okay, we're going to make sure that Chris is okay.
Yep.
And that has never happened.
Well, you know, it's a very slippery floor up there in front of our doors sometimes, so we're going to make sure that Kevin's okay.
Yep.
He's moving, he is okay, but he scared
Chris
me for a moment.
He's up there, he's okay.
By the way, Kevin was okay, so don't worry about that. I've always wondered, because that clip's years old, I've always wondered, did that kill sales of the ladder? You would think it did, right? Instinctively, you'd look at that and you'd say, man, that had to kill him. Who's going to buy a ladder? I just watched a dude fall off. But the human mind is interesting. That clip has been around the internet for years. How many more people have seen the ladder they're advertising because that dude fell off the ladder? Did his fall hurt or help sales? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out one day. I'll see you tomorrow for the State of the Union.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.